This is a replay of the Wednesday night, December 27th, WGN show. We started around 11:30 Central. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number one-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We got about an hour and a half to spend, and I've got a new, fresh stack of tabloids, if all else fails. Yes, they're slime from the checkout line. Plus, your requests and whatever is on your mind. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and kicking it off is Don in Beloit. How's it going, Don?
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, Merry Christmas. I'm sorry I didn't catch your Monday show.
Ah, well, the list is on Raleigh.net if you're wondering what people love.
I saw it. I saw, of course. Yes. Well, I sent you some stuff. I don't know if you saw my email, but I sent you something that, you know, I thought we should kick it off with Tom Smothers, you know, and he's just such a great, guy, you know.
Yes, and I had just seen that this afternoon that he passed away, and it is absolutely sad. But again, you know, sadly, we're getting to that point in life, he had a good one, and considering the amount of drugs and everything else he used, he had a long one. So good for good for him. And
even with the winery thrown in early in his career, he made a winery happen. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually probably was the brighter of the two, and not to take anything away from Dick at all. In fact, he and I became friendly when I used to do Coast to Coast the first time. But Tom really, in some ways, was the brains behind that act. He was also the troubled guy behind that act.
I had no idea. I sent you a link to what I thought was the best write-up of his career and life and so on. But I had no idea, Raleigh, no idea that his dad was a Japanese person. His dad had moved around the world in the army, and they had been born in New York City area. And his dad got transferred to the Philippines, you know, 1940, which, of course, just like, and the kid somehow made it out with the mom, but the dad got brought in. I'm sure he was in the march of death and everything, and he became a prisoner, and he didn't survive the war. Most of them did not survive from the Philippines. And he had to raise his family as the father figure. Amazing.
And, Remick Ridge Vineyards was his. And, of course, Remick was their given name, the family. And, you know, his sister died this year. There was a younger sister, Sherry. I think she was probably about 5 years younger than Tom. And she died last April.
So, Riley, you know, I've been around a lot of stuff, as you have. You know, but watching old deep, I didn't grow up with the Smothers Brothers, but I saw them, like, later on DVD, and they're just hysterical. I mean, it's just so funny. I mean, the acts that those guys had was just Incredible.
Right. And the show was wonderful. And of course, it was real groundbreaking. And of course, the censors were apoplectic over this show. But, the things that they didn't get away with would be considered tame today. But the things that they did get away with were groundbreaking them. So that was a great show. And of course, the two of them as a stand-up were terrific as a pair.
Yeah. I found a website after you had name dropped the show a few times a few months ago. I found a website where all their shows and dates of it was aired and all the guests and guest stars are all listed. Oh, but unbelievable website. I can't remember what it was.
The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, of course. And a lot of people came out of that, from Bob Einstein to Steve Martin, Mason Williams, many others as well. So there were a lot of people who rose to fame for that. And of course, Bob Einstein was the brother of Albert Brooks.
Oh yeah. There was one of your bumpers. I'm sorry, I'm going back like maybe 3 months, but I love, of course, all your little things, and I make notebooks and I fill up little notes, you know, when I look at later. But one of your, you and I both love Bossa Nova. You had a bumper on a guy from the 60s. I hadn't heard of this guy, and he kind of looked like Bjorn Borg. He was a real handsome Brazilian guy. And sure enough, I found him first on the Smother. I'm like, oh my, there's no way this guy Raleigh was mentioning was on the Smothers Brothers.
Marcos Valle.
I think that was it.
Yeah. Loved Marcos Valle. He's still alive and all. But yeah, his early stuff in the mid-60s was just terrific in the early 60s. He wrote So Nice, Summer Samba, which, of course, Walter Wanderley made a hit, and that started bringing in some money. The family had money to begin with, but his brother was a pilot for the government and wrote some of the lyrics. So not the ones we know, of course, not the English versions. But yeah, Marcos Valle was just terrific.
Yeah. Well, Did you see an email from me on this local Rockford area musician that died recently?
Skinny Sticks, Tim Scott. Yes, died December 5th. And it's wonderful to see all the tributes, because he truly was local. And whether it was jazz or blues or rock, in the local community, he was revered. And outside of it, he was virtually unknown.
Oh, yeah. Bunny, I don't know if you ever saw Bunny Carlos, but the community of musicians around Rockford is tight, you know.
Well,
but
sure.
Bunny Carlos still brings it every single week. He still plays.
Yeah, no, he was the original drummer for Cheap Trick. I'm aware he's still functioning. And they have that Rock and Roll Institute, which is great with the Monday and Friday shows. And I think that's a wonderful venue. And the Rock and Roll Camp is just wonderful for kids.
Yeah. Bunny Zuela Carlos. Yeah. His real name. His real name, yeah. Tim was well known with all these musicians around the area and stuff. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you, that they're doing a tribute to him at this Mary's Place.
Yeah, right. Now, by the way, I thought that Bunny Carlos's name was Brad Carlson.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was. You're going to have to do some research, because I'm pretty sure he was a kid named Brad Carlson, born in Rockford. You check it out.
Okay. You might be right.
Yeah, and
a great story there, of course.
Well, it is a great story, but I'm pretty sure that it was Brad, and he had like five brothers and sisters, and it was an interesting story. But no, I'm pretty sure it's Brad Carlos Carlson, and that from that came Bun E. Carlos.
Well, the Speedway is knocked over. I was going to send you a photo of it the other day. I forgot to take a picture, but it's just so sad to see the old Rockford Speedway gone now.
Yeah.
Bulldozed for progress.
Well, you know, I lost it when the clock tower and all that was gone. It was like, I just can't take it. So why should I be surprised about Rockford Speedway? Love's Park lives on.
Yeah. Yep. Raleigh, you have a great show. You know, it's so great talking to you, and I really appreciate that we are here to pay tribute to Tom Smothers because he's such a great, great guy.
Oh yeah, and he will get a lot of coverage, no doubt. But Skinny, Tim Scott will not. So I'm glad that you called. He will in Rockford, and that event at Mary's will be great. But he was really good, and it would be nice if people outside him were aware. And as I say, the music was not always my style, but he absolutely was a good drummer.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
We'll have a talk to you soon. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and it's another guy who, you know, I didn't know him other than the name, and I, you know, because I had worked in Rockford, but I never heard a bad thing about him, and a lot of really fine musicians revered his talent. So, you know, why never outside of Rockford? I don't know. But then again, Bunny Carlos was, you know, Chief's Trick, of course. But other than that, he's absolutely a Rockford icon. So 888-876-5593. Whatever's on your mind will be on mine right here on WGN Radio. Tones, 1961 on Atco, and that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack. He gave me another six songs to play, and it's my pleasure to do it because he's got good taste. So there you have that. Interestingly, John came in during the break, and he said, I got two stories about Tommy Smothers. And I said, well, one of them I can't tell. The other half of the story has to die first. But when they do, I'll be happy to share it. Until then, we'll keep that one off limits. And the other one, now I forgot what the other one was. Yeah, I was so focused on the first one. But nonetheless, the Smothers Brothers show, actually the guy at CBS who put that together originally was Mike Dann. And he was not the guy who fired them. And they were fired. And that was a big thing with Tommy Smothers. We were not canceled. We were fired. And they had been renewed. They were a top 10 show. They were about to go for that fourth season. And CBS said just absolutely no way. And it was unfortunate. After its demise, it won an Emmy for writing. And yeah, and that would have been Bob Einstein and Steve Martin and Lorenzo Music and others sharing the honor. And were nominated for Most Outstanding Variety Show, but lost out to Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. Yeah, well, so that's the deal. But clearly it was a life well lived, but a tortured life too. Like I say, he was prone to depression and some other issues of sadness as well. but muddled through it one way or another. And as Dick said, I'm forever grateful to have spent a lifetime together with him. And their friendship, in fact, Dick said it was a friendship, but it was like a good marriage. The longer we were together, the more we loved and respected one another, which is great. But there were times that they were on the outs too. It wasn't all sunshine and roses. But during the show, like I say, 72 episodes, top 10, renewed for the fourth season, and CBS says no way. Part of the time, of course, was you had to realize that the White House, Richard Nixon and such, were just coming down on all sorts of controversial programming. And CBS was run by nothing if not the lawyers. Yeah, you always knew that because the lawyers were on a higher floor than the other executives. So you knew who was running the ships there. And though the episodes, I think probably all of them are online now. I've never gone to see any of them online, but I would assume if Donna Beloit saw Marcos Valli, they're probably all there. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. But you know, when you think about it, there were a lot of firsts. It was probably the first that on television that out and out came out, you know, against the war, you know, for the counterculture, you know, for civil rights, for other things that that were relevant at the time, but really not spoken of directly on television. And yeah, David Steinberg used to do religious sermons, and oh man, you had to hear him. And they had a guy, I forget his name, but he impersonated Nixon, and of course as a buffoon, as you'd expect. And then the censors killed a lot of their bits. Elaine May was one of their writers for a while, and she did a bit about censors that they censored, and other things that they'd, you know, change the language. Or in one case, they pulled a show entirely and put another show in. I don't know what I think Pete Seeger was doing some Anna Vietnam War, not Draft Dodger's Rag, which I dearly thought was a wonderful song. Didn't necessarily agree with his sentiments in any way, but it was just a terrific song. Waist Deep in the Big Muddy is probably what got him on that, on pulling that. But, you know, Pat Paulson wound up actually running for president, not for real, but he did register in 1968, did get some votes, near as I recall. But meanwhile, there's the Nixon administration saying, no, yeah, Nixon's folks ordered the FCC to watch for content that was inappropriate. And, you know, that's one of the problems the FCC has had from its beginning because of the First Amendment, it's illegal to censor in advance. However, they can look back after the fact and determine whether something was in the public convenience, interest, or necessity. And so it is that people were probably less likely to walk on sacred ground because of that premise than if it had been outright outlined, but it wasn't. Now, after the boys were fired, and yeah, fired is the word they like to use, they filed a lawsuit, and I think CBS had to pay them $900,000. But their careers never, you know, never again reached that height as they would coming into your living room every week for 3 years. So 888-876-5593. We got another hour to talk. And like I say, I got the tabloids. And we were talking about people who died in this past year. And, you know, the list was absolutely not complete, to say the least. And for one thing, we lost a lot in terms of rhythm and blues. So we'll go over some of the soul losses we sustained in the last year next, right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, oh, oh. Why do you have to go? The night is still young. Oh, tomorrow would only bring sorrow. That's why I love you so. Believe me, you should know. Why'd you have to go? The night is still
young,
and darling,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Dells. Why do you have to go? 1957 on VJ, a fine song. In fact, I just got a bunch of CDs from Val Shively. We'll trade things occasionally, and he put a bunch of doo-wop that he loved, and I noticed on one of them, there it was, the Dells, Why Do You Have to Go? Good taste, as I say. And Jimmy P. requested that. That was one of his six-pack. We played two so far. Jimmy P., welcome back to WGN Radio.
Riley, how you doing? How's the girl?
All right. How about yourself?
Good, good. You are definitely the friend of those who have no friends, enemy of those who make you an enemy, and a friend of those who need a friend.
Oh, aren't you kind?
And I just wanted to wish you guys, you and Jenna, Merry Christmas.
You
Thanks
too.
For playing all my jams.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday I wanted to, you were talking about people I haven't talked about for a while. The Royal Team.
Uh-huh.
Short Shorts.
Yeah.
Big Name Button.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Sardo.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fake out.
Yeah, yeah.
And the group that I really like, because I look like Teddy Randazzo, so, which wasn't a bad thing. And the songs Run Around and Times Two, I Love You.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to send my regards, and if I don't get a chance to talk to you, have a great year, a great new year, you and John.
You too, and we'll be on New Year's night, so I hope you'll call.
All right, and thanks again all the songs you've been playing for
My pleasure. You'll get the rest of them tonight.
Okay, thank
All right,
you
thanks.
Very much.
Appreciate it. All right, and some good choices, too. And a couple unusual ones for Jimmy P., anyway, but fine songs nonetheless. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Linda is in Richland Park. Hey, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
All right, what's happening?
Oh, nothing. Same old, same old. Trying to find a life, as you say, by my eyes being almost blind. I'm hanging in there, you know.
Good. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't let anything get me down. You know, I'm really determined to keep my spirits up, you know.
Yeah.
So whatever cards is handed to me, I have to learn how to deal with it. But I call in tonight to mention, I haven't heard hardly anybody on any radio shows about the leader of the Dixie Chicks. You know, she was in a car crash. I don't guess that was fake news, you know?
No, it's real news, but it's not the Dixie Chicks that you would know. See, that's the thing. She was a founder of the Dixie Chicks, Laura Lynch, no doubt about that. But she left before the group charted. And
okay.
She was replaced by Natalie Maines, and it was Natalie Maines who, all that big controversy when she said she was embarrassed about our president, which if you're a country music star is probably not the best thing to do. And so, you know, they lost a lot of traction with that comment. I mean, country radio just dropped them, you know, like whites on rice. It was over. And In the case of Laura Lynch, though, she left in about 95. They didn't have chart stuff till the late 90s. And she was living outside of El Paso, and she was driving on a two-lane about to another town about 50 miles away. And somebody was trying to overtake a vehicle, smashed headfirst into her Ford F-150, and in fact claimed her life right there. Now, the driver of the other vehicle was hospitalized, but non-life-threatening injuries, so he will not be a happy camper, to say the least, but she died instantly. Now, what's interesting is after she left the band, and that was in like 94, so Natalie Maines came in, the one who made the statement about Bush, and everybody said, well, we don't know what happened to Lynch. Well, one of the things is she got married, and she married a guy who had won a $26 million lottery, and if you're ready for that. And they were living they were living in mineral wells, and she was learning to paint oil, you know, do oil paintings at the time and said she had absolutely no regrets leaving the Dixie Chicks because even before they were big, she was suffering from exhaustion.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't hear much talk about it at all on the radio or anybody, you know.
Well,
I listen to a lot of different radio stations. I only heard one mention, and it was Pop, WTOP.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard anything else since then. So I wonder, was that fake news or was it true?
Again, she was a founder, but she didn't sing on any of their hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So I'm not sure how many people actually knew her.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just bringing that up. And, you know, I was thinking about that on Monday you do the bumper. Is that what you do?
Oh, the bumper stumpers? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, since it's Christmas, well, actually it's the Christmas season, the song by Eartha Kitt.
Oh, yes. Santa Baby. A classic. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder, could people guess how much it would cost today if they bought all that stuff she sing about? How much would it cost?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'll bet you somebody's tallied it. I'm going to look for that. I love it. Well, the Cadillac would be a lot more expensive.
They might not get it right to the point because of the car. I can't think of the car.
It was
that,
a light blue Cadillac, 52.
Okay, yeah, but say today's Cadillac, you know, how much it would cost with all the stuff on it. And
sure.
With the modern stuff, I wonder how much would it come to.
I do, too.
I thought about that. In the summer, but probably could add it all up.
Well, according to one guy who wrote about this in 2018, all right, a guy named Philip Bump, he figured it all out. And this is 2018 dollars. He claimed it would be a little short of $1 billion.
Oh, my God. No, it wouldn't be that. I know it wouldn't be that much.
Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Santa Baby, slip a sable under the tree. Well, a sable today would be about $88,000. Santa Baby, a 54 convertible two, light blue. That now, if they went for the 54 convertible, that could be very pricey because, of course, it's a collector's item. That'd be about $1.75 million if they went for the same car, not the modern version. Santa Baby, I want a yacht, and really, that's not a lot. Well, you could probably get a decent yacht for about $455 million. Santa Baby, one thing I really do need: the deed to a platinum mine. That'd be about $461 million. So I think, oh, yeah, come and trim my tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. Well, ornaments by Tiffany would probably run you about $24,400 right now. Santa Baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. Well, the kind of ring she'd want, about $71.2 million. Perhaps the pink star, a 59.6-carat oval-shaped flawless pink diamond. And that would be, as I say, about a little under, a little over $70 million there. And let's see. I think that might be the list. So yeah, just short of $1 billion.
Wow, I had no idea it would come up to nothing like that.
Well, you know, when you're talking about diamond mines, you know, she wants the whole mine, for God's sakes. And you know,
I like this song. I didn't hear that song, not through the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. So now, of course, if she wanted a current version of the Cadillac, not that there is one, but the closest she'd get, it certainly wouldn't be $1.75 million. You know, you could probably get it all decked out for a little over $150,000.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. That's a unique song. I really like it.
Well, and she does it better than anybody else. Her you know, intonations and inflections were just better. I know Madonna redid it. That was a disgrace. But Eartha Kitt was just sensuous on every level. Yeah.
Yeah, she was real good. I enjoyed it. I listened to you through all year long. So keep up the good work. And I hope you and John stay healthy.
Well, yes, you too.
Good music.
All right. Well, you stay healthy, too. We don't want to lose you. Call me, Linda.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, they say it would be more than 900 million, you know, because you're counting the platinum mine and the yacht would be most of it. But, yeah, it would be pricey no matter how you sliced it. So even at the time, you know, diamond mines just don't come cheap at any time. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We're going to review the soul deaths. Yeah, and of course, we just talked about the pop death of Laura Lynch. But again, not that it isn't tragic, of course it is, but to put it in perspective, basically, anytime you heard or saw the Dixie Chicks, Laura was already gone. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Come back home. I'm so all alone. Please come back home. Oh, please come back to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Leandra's in the Hearts. Yeah, Questlove's father. And that was another one of Jimmy P's requests. I'm happy to play it. So many great Lee Andrews records, and all he's known for really is Teardrops, but there was so much more than that, so happy to play it. Yeah, Philly's original and sadly no longer with us. Speaking of which, 40 soul music artists who died in 2023. Anita Pointer, Freddie White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, George White of the Dynamics, Grady Harmon of the Whispers, Keith Beaton of Blue Magic, Sonny Baker of the Dynamics, Barrett Strong, of course, Charlie Thomas of the Drifters, Lillian Walker Moss, the Exciters, tell him, Chuck Jackson, Wayne Shorter, James Holland, yeah, of the Holidays, Leon Hughes, one of the Coasters, Bobby Caldwell, we talked about him, Fuzzy Haskins, Parliament, Funkadelic, Peggy Scott, yeah, Peggy Scott Adams, Peggy Scott as in JoJo Benson and singer, Sweet Charles Sherrill, and he was James Brown's music director for years, Ronnie Coleman, I don't expect you to know him, but the Broadways, yeah, Going, Going, Gone, that was a great song. Booker Newberry, a singer. Otis Redding III, yeah, that's sad. Isaac Wiley of the Daz Band, Harry Belafonte, Tina Turner, you know about that. Vicki Anderson, you know about that. Bobby Ely, we talked a lot about that when that occurred. Toussaint McCall, likewise. Clarence Avant, Wendell B., sung blues. Sonny Hawkins, that was gospel. Katherine Anderson, well, a Marblehead of the Marvelous Marblehead. Fred Lewis of Lakeside. Rudolph Isley, recently, sadly, the oldest Isley brother. Richard Roundtree, actor and a singer. George Brown of Kool & the Gang. Nidra Beard of Dynasty and Amp Fiddler. And sad, sad, sad. Now, I've actually gotten this text from someone. I can get text messages. I cannot reply to them. They come to me as email. And the other thing is, if you call, whether you're texting or you're leaving a phone message, if you leave a phone message, there's a 50-50 chance I'm never going to hear it. I mean, don't hesitate to try. But as I mentioned before, I've got this deranged soul who calls me and leaves like 40 messages at a time, just insane. So when I see that it's multiple messages, because I don't listen to a one of them, as soon as I see a repetitive number, it goes. And so it is. If you sadly were in the mix and never hear anything on the air back or whatever, chances are good that I inadvertently trashed your message while I was trashing many more that I wanted to. All right, so apologies to that. But anyway, he says, whoever it is or she, Smokey Robinson is coming to Genesee on the 29th. That's this Friday. Let's go holler and yell at him for cheating Mary Wells out of royalties, allegedly. She died poor and homeless. And let me tell you, it wasn't Smokey. All right, it's true that Mary Wells sadly had a tortured existence, but the architect of that was not Smokey. It was Berry Gordy. Don't kid yourself. Part of the discordant attitude at Motown, particularly among female singers, was the feeling was that Diana Ross and the Supremes were getting everything for a lot of reasons. And so the Marvelettes felt shortchanged. And of course, Mary Wells did too, very much so. And Barry not only pretty much lit into her, but sadly in the process, he ruined the prospects for Linda Griner, who could have been terrific. Linda Griner did one song on Motown. She's very young. She might have been underage at the time. I'm not sure she was in the D.C. area. And it was Goodbye, Cruel Love, and just one of my all-time favorite records. And the other side was Envious, which was also a killer record. But Goodbye, Cruel Love sounded a lot like Mary Wells, and that was the design. The design by Berry Gordy was to scare Mary Wells to the point that she'd get in line and stop complaining. And it worked for a while. The problem is that when it worked, that was the end of the Linda Griner record. They just pulled it, sadly. But it, I'll play you some of it so you hear what it sounds. It had the makings of a great record, and she should have been promoted for it alone. But sadly, it was just a tool to get Mary Wells scared. But I thought this was terrific. Singing that too, and she got right in line on that, and that was Goodbye Linda. And I looked up Linda a while ago. She was selling real estate in Las Vegas, and maybe still is, although she'd probably be retired by now. But I wish her nothing but the best. She did not get the good end of the deal, and that Goodbye Cruel Love and Envious were just two great records. All right, we'll talk more about Mary Wells and what happened, and then where she went, and the labels after that, coming up on WGN Radio.
Yes. somebody knew I'd be so helpless.
Be so helpless.
So tell me, what are you gonna do? Don't leave me breathless.
Leave me breathless.
WGN Radio. I'm Rolly James. The Delphonics, of course, and another Jimmy P request. And I think that next to Lala, that might be my favorite Delphonics record. All right, back to Mary Wells and the saga. Now, in terms of exactly what happened in Motown, we know for a fact that obviously many of the female acts, such as the Marvelettes and Mary Wells, were displeased because they felt they no longer were getting the primo material. That said, Mary Wells was clearly the cash cow. You know, she crossed with My Guy, obviously. This is a million-selling record, and probably the biggest thing Motown had at the time, not even probably, but absolutely the biggest thing Motown had in early 64. It was number one for 7 weeks on the R&B charts and number one for a couple weeks on the pop charts. So it was huge. It was followed up by a couple more top five soul songs, two-sided hit and all that. And then she's gone in 64. Now, a couple things happened. Firstly, you can look at the calendar. She's 21. And when she first signed her contract, she was underage. And so she had an out. But in terms of how Berry Gordy felt about it, that depends on who you ask and what day of the week it is. I mean, there's that many stories. But the most glowing one in Berry's favor would be that he offered her a percentage of the company to stay. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the bottom line is, what is not in dispute is that in order for her to leave that contract, she had to leave her royalties behind. She had to walk. And she chose to do that. Now, it's interesting because long about this time, she was just getting a divorce. And the person she was married to was a Motown employee, a guy who did a lot of things behind the scenes, Herman Griffith. And he remained her manager afterwards. So clearly he supported her decision. But, you know, I guess in retrospect, why the hell he didn't talk her out of it, I don't know. But she felt slighted. She felt she wasn't getting her due. And off she went. And unfortunately, it was without much pre-planning. So here she is. She's off of a giant hit. And the first place she goes is 20th Century. And Ain't It the Truth actually got to the top 10 on the R&B charts, just on the strength of that it was Mary Wells. But a few things there, and then one song on Atco, Dear Lover, which got, again, top 10 on the R&B charts, but, you know, in the 50s and pop. And that's pretty much it. You had a couple songs on Jubilee and one on Reprise and I think one on Epic. And that's it for Mary Wells. So essentially her career was over. Now, that said, some of that 20th Century stuff was good, I thought, as far as that goes. But it just wasn't anything that was apparently going to make the charts for a variety of reasons. But Never Never actually did make the R&B charts pretty well. Was a good little record. In fact, a few years later when Geraldine Hunt covered it in 1970, although it was great then too. So that at least made the charts. The other thing that she had done on 20th Century that I thought was a cute little record that should have gotten some notice. Yeah, He's a Lover.
Some people talk about my guy.
also 65, and absolutely nothing. Then, interestingly, she wound up, and I don't know how this happened, but she wound up on ATCO at the same time as 20th. I could probably look up and find the history of why that was. And probably had her biggest post-Motown success, but still not really a success. However, became a big beach music song along the way, and that was Dear Lover. A Chicago connection, a big one. Carl Davis and Gerald Sims both wrote it and produced it, and I thought that should have done a lot more. And again, clearly a big, big beach music, but that was it. But so to blame Smokey, no. I will say Smokey was probably quiet because he usually was, is, I should say. He's still with us, obviously. And I think that Smokey kind of finds the good side of everything. That's just his general nature. It's not, I don't think that he's intentionally whitewashing, but it's just the way he views the world. So, you know, should he have stepped in? I can't answer that. I wasn't there. But for anybody to say and to send me not one but two text messages saying, you know, you ought to boo Smokey for what he did to Mary Wells, he didn't. You know, Berry Gordy, well, that's another story. I'll buy the tar if you get the feathers. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And as I say, I've got the tabloids. Yes, and they're just ringing bells. Three new editions. And I don't know if we'll go over them again. But the only thing that I have more than the tabloids is I have 9 zillion messages from James, as usual. I don't know if James stays up nights doing this, but nonetheless, it is constant. Now, his big source is Newsbreak. And I will say that if you're going to go to Newsbreak yourself, make sure you understand that you need to vet the stories. Some of them on Newsbreak are not necessarily, resembling the truth, you know, even counting the tabloids. Others are just wonderful, and particularly those that are links to legitimate publications. And there are a ton of them at that. And so you're probably aware of the website. But God, I know that James is. So James, welcome back to WGN Radio. Thanks for the 9 million stories.
You're welcome. Okay, you sound better.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I don't know if I am or not, but that's good to hear. Thank you.
Okay. It seemed like, the ones I was coming up with seemed like, you know how you have, like, I hate the holidays.
Yeah.
After seeing some of these ones, I started to think, isn't that the truth?
Well, talk about people behaving badly and the holidays. And you had forwarded me this story from Irving Park. So hello, Chicago. Christmas night. Here we have a family that wants to thank the postal worker, the USPS guy who came to the house every day. And here comes the Amazon driver ripping off the tip.
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I said, okay. And then I'm reminded of them, but that one just simply, I said, this is really sad.
Yeah, right.
But then the one that just simply, there was a couple other ones where I said, only in families does stuff like this seem to happen, where a woman goes, takes her brothers and her children, gets Christmas shopping. Two brothers get into a dispute. over who's getting what.
Right.
One, the younger ones thinking that Joe is getting too much. And then, of course, they decide to go to grandma's house, hoping maybe everybody will pipe down, maybe just calm down a little bit. But no, they're still arguing. And then the sister who had picked, decides to step in and try to basically get them to, because at first he wants to shoot his brother, the young one, who already had like a rap sheet, apparently, wanted to pull down his gun, wanted to shoot, and he's 14.
Mm-hmm. Where did he get the gun?
They think that both of these guns, the guns that were in that were involved in this, were stolen. They were both probably, as we would call it, thugs. Thugs in high standing, unfortunately. Or should I say low standing?
So he attempted to kill the brother. Was there any injury involved?
Well, what ended up happening was, then he decides to put the gun at his sister, basically, and then the gun goes off, killing the sister.
And then
the brother who had gone, then came back and knows what had happened. He pulls out his gun. He's 15, and shot his brother in the stomach.
How did I miss this story? What was the headline?
Okay, I think I sent it. It's about three or four coordinating stories in there. They're like among the last group of stories that I sent.
Wait a minute. I did get it. Florida mother shot dead by brother over unequal Christmas gift exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're about two or three coordinating ones, and they did catch up with the brother who shot, basically threw the gun. They tried to get rid of the gun. Oh, they found the gun.
All right. So this is Pinellas County. We're talking about the St. Petersburg area. The mother is 23 years old, who apparently has two children, ages 6 years old and 10 months, and they all went out shopping with her two teenage brothers, the 15 and the 14-year-old, in Pinellas County. And the 14-year-old was upset that the 15-year-old was getting more gifts than he was, so the argument started. They had a family spat as to who was getting what and what money was being spent on who. The family eventually left the store, went to the grandmother's house, the mother of the woman, Abrielle, who's going to be dead in this story in a minute. And while at the residence, the 14-year-old takes out a handgun, threatens to shoot the 15-year-old in the head. Apparently, family members try to separate the teens. The younger teen then became arguing and threatening the mother of the children to shoot her and her 10-month-old son. He allegedly,
because that's his sister.
Right. He allegedly shot, or at least half sister. He allegedly shot her in the chest with a .40 caliber handgun. The baby was not harmed. Then the 15-year-old came out of the home, took his own .45 caliber handgun, and shot the brother in the stomach. The older teen ran from the scene and tossed the gun. The younger teen, who allegedly shot the woman, the mother there, was hospitalized in stable condition. And prosecutors are reviewing the case. Hell, they've got to dismantle the case. Jeez. And so the big question is, should they charge him as an adult? Yes.
Oh, they're going to, because there's another story that I think is another that where they basically charge one with first degree. He'll be charged with first degree murder.
Oh, now
the one. Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this. There was last night we were talking about the missing 18-year-old who was due to give birth, and she and her boyfriend were missing. You know they were found.
Okay, yeah.
And they were found dead.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah, they were found dead in their car. And so they don't think it was anything like he shot her and then shot himself. It wasn't anything like that. There's yet another perpetrator, but they both turned out to be dead.
That's tragic.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, but I saw that about 20 minutes after I got off the air. I saw that story. I said, well, I guess there's an ending here, but not the one that anyone would want. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want to bet? What do you want to bet? Drugs are involved in this somewhere.
I think so. And unfortunately, I mean, this is a tragic. It's a really sad. I don't know what the boys, if they thought they were going to elope or I don't know what.
We'll never know. We'll never know now. So
we catch the perpetrator.
And we're going to believe him? So in any event, we have a homeless woman in the Los Angeles area in Westchester by LAX who had been trying to get help from county services because apparently she's been homeless a while. She's got a one-year-old child. Well, meanwhile, nobody would answer her pleas, so the child died at a bus stop.
Ouch.
It's unclear how the child died, maybe from cold, although it's not, obviously it's not frigid in Los Angeles. But the bottom line was that she might have been alive if any of the homeless service answered this woman's plea. Apparently she made many of them.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, this is, some of these I actually saw last night and then this morning, I'm like thinking, some of these stories, I said, boy, I was almost reminded of that song, So This Is Christmas, and What Have You Done? I was reminded of.
But what was interesting is her godmother, the mother of the child who died, said that they'd all been trying to get help for this girl. I said, if you don't have an alcohol problem, if you don't have a drug problem, if you're not a victim of any type of domestic violence, you're not getting help. We tried. We tried and tried and tried. No one was listening. Now, what I don't know, of course, is, okay, so you tried. Why wasn't the woman in your house, meanwhile? Why was she on the street? And I don't know that.
Because apparently, since she did wasn't the flavor du jour of victimhood. That's the whole thing.
So there you have it. A fine collection of stories as always.
Yeah, and then there's of course there was the elderly person up in Michigan thankfully they were able to save their lives. But I mean, I'm like wondering what possessed their own flesh and blood to brutalize them like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I had to be I had to take care of my parents in their late ages, and I'm like thinking, as the expression that's been said, once an adult, twice a child.
Yeah. Now we have Goodwill in the news. Of course, a lot of these bargain things, we heard about the vase that was bought for almost nothing and went for a fortune. But here's a Goodwill shopper astounded. She found a mug, and it was priced $2.88. And she looked at the mug, and the first thing she says, apparently whoever priced this has never seen one. $3 for a coffee mug doesn't sound bad, except this particular mug retails for $130. They're on the shelves right now. It's one of those deals that will, the Ember mug, world's first temperature control mug using patented temperature control technology to keep drinks hot indefinitely, can be controlled by your smartphone. And the 10-ounce version is $129.95. The 14-ounce version, which the woman bought for $2.99, is $149.50. $2.88 she spent. Now, on that one, you'd think, I understand if you don't recognize some piece of art that's going to be worth $1 million, who could? But you don't recognize electronic products that are on the shelves right now? They need better pricers at Goodwill.
I think they spend so much time that they don't exactly get around much.
Yeah.
Let's put it
for a lot of reasons, All right. Well, that concludes the show. So thank you. All right.
Okay, and, you take care, okay?
You too.
John's sounding better.
Excellent.
That's good.
All right, good deal. Talk to you soon. Tomorrow night we have a whole show. Yes, 3 big hours starting at 10 o'clock Central. I believe that's a wrap, though I'm not sure. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Please do it tomorrow night. We'll reconvene at 10 on WGN Radio.